He woke up after dark, sufficiently cooked but not burned. A security guard escorted him to his room, where he fell on the bed and returned to his coma. The sun was up again before he moved. After such a long period of rest, he awoke surprisingly clear-headed and very hungry. He ate some fruit and went looking for sailboats, not exactly shopping for one, but paying close attention to the details. A 30-footer would be sufficient, just large enough to live on, yet manageable by a crew of one. There would be no passengers, just the lonely skipper, hopping from island to island. The cheapest one he found was $90,000, and it needed some work. Noon found him back at the pool with a cell phone trying to placate a client or two, but his heart wasn't in it. The same waitress brought another drink. Off the phone, he hid behind dark sunshades and tried to crunch the numbers. But things were wonderfully dull between his ears. In the past month, he'd earned about $80,000 in tax-free graft. Could the pace continue? If so, he'd have his $1 million in a year, and he could abandon his office and what was left of his career, and he could buy his little boat and hit the sea. For the first time ever, the dream seemed almost real. He could see himself at the wheel, shirtless, shoeless, cold beer at the ready, gliding across the water from St. Bart's to St. Kitts, from Nevis to St. Lucia, from one island to 1,000 others, wind popping his mainsail, not a damn thing in the world to worry about. He closed his eyes and longed even harder for an escape. His snoring woke him. The thong was nearby. He ordered some rum and checked his watch. 2 days later, Trevor finally made it back to Trumbull. He arrived with mixed feelings. First, he was quite anxious to pick up the mail and facilitate the scam, anxious to keep the extortion going and the money rolling in. On the other hand, he was tardy, and Judge Spicer would not be happy.
"Where the hell you been?"
Spicer growled at him, as soon as the guard left the attorney conference room. It seemed to be the standard question these days.
"I've missed 3 games because of you, and I picked nothing but winners."
"The Bahamas. We got $100,000 from Curtis in Dallas."
Spicer's mood changed dramatically.
"It took 3 days to check on a wire in the Bahamas?"
he asked. "I needed a little rest. Didn't know I was supposed to visit this place every day."
Spicer was mellowing by the second. He just picked up another $22,000. It was safely tucked away with his other loot, in a place no one could find. And as he handed the lawyer yet another stack of pretty envelopes, he was thinking of ways to spend the money.
"Aren't we busy?" Trevor said, taking the letters.
"Any complaints? You're making more than we are."
"I have more to lose than you do."
Spicer handed over a sheet of paper.
"I picked 10 games here. $500 on each."
Great, thought Trevor. Another long weekend at Pete's, watching one game after another. Oh well, there could be worse things. They played blackjack at $1 a hand until the guard broke up the meeting. Trevor's increased visits had been discussed by the warden and the higher-ups at the Bureau of Prisons in Washington. Paperwork had been created on the subject. Restrictions had been contemplated, but then abandoned. The visits were useless, and besides, the warden didn't want to alienate the brethren. Why pick a fight? The lawyer was harmless. After a few phone calls around Jacksonville, they decided that Trevor was basically unknown and probably had nothing better to do than hang out in the attorney conference room of a prison. The money gave new life to Beach and Yarber. Spending it would necessarily entail getting to it, and that would require they one day walk away as free men, free to do whatever they wanted with their growing fortunes. With $50,000 or so now in the bank, Yarber was busy plotting an investment portfolio. No sense in letting it sit there at 5% per annum, even if it was tax-free. One day very soon, he'd roll it over into aggressive growth funds with emphasis on the Far East. Asia would boom again, and his little pile of dirty money would be there to share in the wealth. He had 5 years to go, And if he earned between 12 and 15% on his money until then, the $50,000 would grow to roughly $100,000 by the time he left Trumbull. Not a bad start for a man who would be 65 and hopefully still in good health. But if he, and Percy and Ricky, could keep adding to the principal, he might indeed be rich when they turned him loose. 5 lousy years. Months and weeks he'd been dreading. Now he was suddenly wondering if he had enough time to extort all he needed. As Percy, he was writing letters to over 20 pen pals across North America. No two were in the same town. It was Spicer's job to keep the victims separated. Maps were being used in the law library to make certain neither Percy nor Ricky was corresponding with men who appeared to live near one another.